65,498 square miles. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. This is Spanning the State, and here are your hosts, Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Good afternoon. Coming up today, would you bank your retirement on Bitcoin? Well, the Wisconsin's pension fund, ranked as one of the most fiscally sound in the nation, has added Bitcoin to its balance sheet. And so while it's a little bit of a drop in the bucket of the overall fund, we're going to talk to a financial expert on whether or not this is a good move.
Then we will spin around the state. We're going to talk about an influencer, I put that in air quotes, who came to Wisconsin and what she found. And we're going to learn about active living for older adults.
Active living. Mm-hmm. I like to live active.
I was very active in my younger days. Now I'm more chill living.
Sedentary?
Not sedentary. I move around. I do a lot of things. I just don't want to have to. I don't want the pressure of having to be active.
Oh, okay.
If I choose to be active, that's great. But if I choose not to, that's great, too.
You don't want anyone breathing down your back?
New study today, just real quick, says a lazy day is the best for your mental health, your stress, your heart, everything. So one lazy day a week, they say.
I'm not good at that.
I love this article.
All right. But first, last week, we all know that 9 people who worked at Waupun Correctional Institution, including the warden, were charged in connection with 2 prisoners' death. We know because it took over a lot of our show last Wednesday. Meanwhile, there's still an ongoing investigation, federal investigation into smuggling allegations of phones and drugs by staff. And in the last week, there's been a lot of politicking. Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee signaled interest in legislation to require more oversight of the state's prisons. They've blamed Evers for deteriorating conditions of the state prisons. And, of course, Governor Evers says that he inherited these problems. There's talk of replacing the prisons and shutting them down. And but doing that is costly and complicated, and the state cannot close the prison without a plan for where to house the people who currently live there. So this is, I mean, we've been covering this topic as far as both Waupun and Green Bay Correctional Institute since the show started. And it's, to put it lightly,
it's not getting any better.
A mess.
Yeah.
This is a big mess, and something that's, we talk about deferred maintenance a lot in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
And this is, I think, deferred maintenance on steroids as far as not only maintenance of the buildings themselves, but the staffing shortages and all of the problems that have kind of just been kicked down the road.
Right.
And now it seems like it's come home to roost that we now finally have to do something about this.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in there, you know, taxpayers, like criminals that are at the bottom of their list, quite frankly. How they're treated, where they're housed, it doesn't really matter until, oh, well, we have to maybe shut down where they're housed. And guess what? Then they're, where are we going to put them?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we'll pay attention.
So we are going to be talking to the mayor of Waupun, Roan Bishop, when we return to talk about how the community has been affected. Where do we go from here? What is the role of the mayor of either Green Bay or of Waupun as far as where do we, what do we do?
And the mayor had a lot to say the other day. He released a statement where he did not mince words. So it should be very interesting to hear what he has to say to us in just a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. So we'll talk to him when we come back. News time 1:10. This is Spanning the State.
It's Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And last week, 9 people who work at the Waupun Correctional Institution, including the warden, were charged. And since then, state lawmakers are pointing fingers and making calls to close both that and the Green Bay Correctional Institute. So we wanted to hear from someone a little bit closer to how this has affected the community of Waupun. So joining us now is Mayor of Waupun, Roan Bishop. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Hey. Yeah, good to be back on. It's nice to actually be on a program without Steve Scafidi for a change.
Wow.
Right. Shots fired. No. We're very happy to have you. It's obviously been what I have to imagine a tumultuous week up there. So I guess just out of the gate, what do you want people who've been reading about this for the last week to know about the issue?
I want people to know that, like, when you drive by Waupun, you probably say, hey, that's where the prison is. But for those of us who live in Waupun, the prisons are a part of our community. The Waupun Correctional Institution is the state's oldest prison, and it's been in Waupun for about 175 years. And it was actually prisoners at Waupun who helped to build the Green Bay Correctional Facility, I think in the 1870s that was. Waupun houses 3 prisons. We have the Waupun Correctional Institution, the Dodge Correctional Institution, the John C. Burke Correctional Center, We're also home to the Department of Corrections Pharmacy, and there's a Department of Corrections State Farm located just east of our city, along with a corrections gun range. So corrections in Waupun go back a long time, and it's a part of who we are. We've been nicknamed the Prison City. It's not our favorite nickname. As you know, from when I've been on the show in the past, we promote the sculptures and the public arts we have in Waupun as our tour stuff. But we don't shy away from our corrections heritage and what it means to our community. Everyone in Waupun knows or is related to someone who works there. We have a generation after generation of families who worked in corrections as correctional officers. And it's just a big part of who we are as a community. And a lot of people don't understand, too, like all of our churches, I think all of our churches in Waupun, I know at least most of them, have like some sort of an outreach to the prisons. Like I was talking to my pastor, he routinely once a week would go and do Bible study with inmates. And I know other ministers, priests, pastors, reverends, whatever's in Waupun who do that. So we, when we are in church and we pray for the people in the prison, it's the people who work there, it's the people who live there. If you've ever been to Waupun and you look at the prison, you know, it's surrounded by houses on all sides. It's next door to the Waupun Public Library. My kids' daycare's in the backyard. When my girls are riding their bike down the street and there's prisoners out mowing the lawn, they're not afraid. It's just a part of our community. And with the way the news broke, I felt correctional officers were getting a bad rap, and I thought Waupun was getting a bad rap. And I felt as the mayor, someone had to stick up for the thankless job that a lot of these correctional officers have. You know, I look at correctional officers and I see people in law enforcement, but we don't see them at work because you see police officers on the street. You see EMTs and firefighters. Correctional officers go on the other side of that wall and they do their job and they do it well in most cases, and then they come home. It's a hard job. It's a stressful job. I've toured the prison. It's a lot. Like some of the people in there, and I have to be careful because nobody in Waupun wants anyone to be mistreated or treated inhumanely. But some of the people who live in there are really rotten, bad people who treat the staff terrible. And I don't think that side of the story gets told enough.
Well, Mayor, you definitely stuck up for the corrections officers in your newsletter column last week. You also took aim at all the politicians who seem to be, my words, paraphrasing you, grandstanding a little bit by getting in front of the cameras and spouting off and saying you need to close the prison. They're blaming this. They're blaming that. What do you really want the politicians and the governor to do? What could they do to actually make a difference instead of just talking in front of the cameras?
Well, the first thing they could do is actually care. and I think now that this is the Sheriff Schmidt's press conference, I think opened up some eyes to how bad things have been getting. And it's not just Tony Evers' fault. It goes back a couple of governors. People ask me, and I'm like, the last governor administration that really cared about corrections was the Tommy Thompson, Scott McCallum era. And since then, I don't know if any of them have, it's just been out of sight, out of mind, kick the can down the road. How do you run a prison with 52% vacancy rate in staffing? At some point, it's going to catch up to you. When you read that criminal complaint, some of the stuff you can see is these people are on their 15th hour. They were just exhausted. I don't think anyone wanted anyone to die or be harmed. I just think they were running out of gas and was hoping the next shift would take care of it. It's tough. And now all of these elected officials that are all running in front of the camera and posing for holy pictures and we're going to close this and that and build a beautiful new thing. Well, where the heck have you been for 15 years? Like, we know what some of the problems are in Waupun and as a community. We have some of the solutions to help, but the state doesn't like to listen to us and they've been doing their own thing. And it's just, it's so easy to say, well, just close the prison. But I want people to know the impact that makes on our community. And we want people whose loved ones go to prison to understand when they're in Waupun that as a community, we do care about them.
So, Mayor Bishop, as you just said, the community has some solutions beyond lawmakers caring, which is obviously a first step. What are some of the solutions, actual tangibly, that you think could make a difference?
You want to know a great example of how the state just ignores stuff? So the city of Waupun, and you know from when I've been on the show before, I brag about Waupun too much.
You do. You rep your city very well.
I love Waupun. It's my favorite place in the world. My wife laughed at me once. We came back from Minnesota, and when we passed the sign that said, "Welcome to Waupun," I sighed. She said, "You are just weird." I'm like, okay. One of the things that's cool about Waupun is we have the best drinking water in the state of Wisconsin. The city of Waupun has the only reverse osmosis water plant in the state. And the reason we have that water plant is because our iron and raw content here is really high. Our water would be terrible if we didn't treat it for the residents of Waupun. So if you live in Waupun, you don't need to have a water softener and your appliances last longer. The reason I'm telling you this story is in the criminal complaint, you read about how awful the drinking water at Waupun Correctional is. The state of Wisconsin has refused forever to hook up to the city of Waupun's water. They've been too cheap to do it. Well, that's on them. It's right there. The city water was ready to go. They never wanted it, so they didn't want to spend a little bit of money on better drinking water. Well, don't close the prison because of that. Just hook up to the water. That's one simple fact that could make everyone's life there. The people who work in the prison know to bring their own water from home. The poor people who live there are stuck with it because they don't have a choice. And that's just a simple thing that lands on the Department of Corrections, and there's no one else to blame but themselves for that. The other thing that can be done is the prison needs some remodeling and it needs some work, but there's nothing but the building that makes it bad. The wall that goes around the prison in Waupun is fine. The visitor center is fairly new. That's only about 20 years old. The cell halls need some work. I don't deny that. It's an old building, but it's not like it's an impossible building to put some money in and save it. If you look at like a Google Earth picture of the prison, there's a lot of space in there. But when I toured the prison a couple springs ago, I know one or two of the buildings in there are just empty. Tear them down and build some new residences for people to live in there. There's a lot of solutions that can be done with the footprint that's here. I think closing the prison to build a multi-billion dollar new one is just the wrong way to go. And one of the reasons I got into the news last week was officials in Green Bay want the Green Bay Correctional closed. But they want it closed because it's prime real estate. If you look at where the Green Bay Prison is, it's on the Fox River. It's on an interstate. They want it for economic development. I don't blame them. Waupun is different. The prison is at 200 Madison Street. It's two blocks off of Main Street. It's surrounded by houses. It's on the National Registry of Historic Places, and it's a huge part of Waupun history. You simply just can't up and close it, throw me the keys. Like, we got to come up with a solution. And I don't care if the governor's a Republican or a Democrat, but if he's willing to come to Waupun and talk to us, we're willing to, hey, this is what we can help you with.
And, Mayor, just for people who are saying, well, I get all that. You don't want to close the prison. There's this and that. Can you give us a number what economically that would mean to not only the city but the surrounding area if that prison closed?
Well, it would be an impact because, as you can imagine, when I listed everything that's here, corrections are our largest employer in the area. It's not just the three prisons and the pharmacy in Waupun. We're also very close to the Fox Lake Correctional Institution. And obviously, Tachita and then Oshkosh isn't that far away. So there would be an economic impact to our community. But I think more than the economic impact, it's just a gut blow to who we are. It is the oldest prison in the state, and the license plates on your car are made here in Waupun. And maybe it's weird, but we're kind of proud of that. Like, we are proud to be Wisconsin's prison city. We have been for 175 years. There's more to Waupun than prisons, but they are a huge part of who we are. And that's why I've been so passionate to fight for them.
And so last night, I know that you said that there was dueling protests. And so what made them dueling? Who was there?
So what happened is an organization, I don't know what they were called. They were folks from Milwaukee, Kenosha, and Racine. They came up to Waupun to protest the prison. They want it closed, and they want different prison reforms. I went over and introduced myself and shook hands with them all. They yelled at me briefly, but once we started talking, things were really cool. And then on the south side of the prison was a bunch of correctional officers who showed up to support their jobs and their prison. The cool thing is that our Waupun police chief, Jeremy Roush, worked with both Dale Schmidt from Dodge County and Ryan Walshman from Fond du Lac County. We had over 20 police officers on scene. So no, everyone stayed calm. Everything went fine. Both had peaceful protests, and everything was great. Everyone has their right to free speech, and as the mayor and our police department, we're going to protect it, whether I agree with it or not. All I did is say, hey, guys, just all behave. I don't want any trouble, and everyone was really cool about it. So I have no problem with it, and what's really good about both groups is they contact the police department, and they give us a heads up. That's all we ask. We'll let you, if you have a huge group, I'll even close the street for you so you can march on it. But we've got to be peaceful and we've got to be civil. And for the most part, that's what happens.
And what have you heard from your constituents as far as just the residents of Waupun? How are they feeling about this? Was there much reaction after last week's press conference?
There was. And I've been pleasantly surprised and a little blown away at how much support I got after my mayor's column came out. Like, like I said, it means a lot to our city, and a lot of people in Waupun feel like the warden and the correctional staff are getting the raw end of the deal, and that these are problems that go back a long time, that the prison's been understaffed, and that a lot of bureaucrats in Madison are just pointing the finger at our city because it's an easy scapegoat, because no one wants to actually deal with it. You know, one of the things I fought for years, and I have one friend in the legislature who agrees with me, and that would be Senator Dan Fine. I have thought they should close the corrections headquarters in Madison and build a new one in the Waupun area, because we actually have prisons, we actually have inmates, we actually have correctional officers and staff here. A building in Madison full of bureaucrats who never deal with the day-to-day life on the ground, I think, is a wrong way to go. And I think corrections would be better served if it was headquartered here in the Waupun area.
Mayor, before we let you go, in your opinion, should the correctional officers not have been charged?
I'm not going to answer that question because I don't know. In my personal opinion, it's a bit much, but the sheriff is a consummate professional, and he did the investigation, he did the research, he knows what he's doing. So I would say that's above my pay grade. What I will say is the vast, vast, vast majority of the people who work in that prison go there every day to do a tough job to help keep us safe, and I'm thankful for them. And then on a side note, the one thing I would say about Warden Hepp, I did not know the warden until I became the mayor, and that was 3 years ago. And in my 3 years as mayor, he and I have had a really good working relationship on any issue that has dealt with the city and corrections. And over the years, I now consider him a friend, and I felt terrible that he got swept up in it. And he could have retired a while ago, and he stayed on a difficult job because he wanted to fix a problem. I think he was doing what he thought was right, and I feel terrible for him that he's in this. But like, I'm not impartial there because I got to like the guy working with him. So I guess I'll just leave it at that. But I can tell you that a lot of people in Waupun think it's a little much because they really want to support the brave people who work in the prison. It's a tough job. They help keep us all safe. It's a thankless job to do it on the other side of a wall. And I didn't plan on this, obviously, being all over statewide news, but I don't know, someone had to stick up for corrections, and why not me, I guess. So
why not you?
Why not you?
Well, we appreciate you spending time with us today. He is the mayor of Waupun. Ron Bishop joins us, and good luck with navigating all of this. I really hope, genuinely, I hope that there is actual action that comes from this disaster.
Well, we do, too, because we would like to keep the prison, but it does need some changes, and we need some modifications, and we need some better policies. All that is true, but we can do it here in Waupun, and this community cares about both the people who work there and the people who live there.
All right. Thanks so much for your time, Mayor. Newstime.
Have a great day.
You, too. Newstime 127. This is Spanning the State.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like, Gronk actually does Bitcoin, which is where he just chews on a handful of nickels. But
that is Nikki Glaser at the Tom Brady roast from last month. Yes. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, but we thought it was a topical joke to pull for our next topic. Brian, are you invested in Bitcoin?
No, I am not. Here's the thing, and it's not... I have a rudimentary understanding of Bitcoin. I have found Bitcoin to be like CrossFit and veganism. People who are into Bitcoin will tell you ad nauseum anything you never wanted to know about Bitcoin. You could ask one question. It's a 3-hour symposium on Bitcoin. I don't understand it enough, not to not trust it, but I can't wrap my head around it.
Well, maybe our next guest can help. So. Because last month, Wisconsin became the first state to buy Bitcoin. Yes, Wisconsin's pension fund, ranked as one of the most fiscally sound in the nation, has added Bitcoin to its balance sheets. And so here to tell us why that is or is not a terrible idea is Marquette University Emeritus Associate Professor of Finance, David Cross.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Thanks. Kristen,
thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here.
So explain to Brian what Bitcoin is.
Well, you set a pretty low bar there, Brian.
Well, I know it's an imaginary form of currency, correct?
Well, it's a digital currency. It's an online currency.
Right.
And I would say for people under the age of 40, they're very comfortable dealing with digital currencies, whether it's a Venmo transaction or even using Bitcoin.
I guess the what I don't understand about it, and we'll get into the pension fund in just a second, but if you could clear it up. So I know there's mining, which I, you know, and how do you ever cash out? Can you ever cash out?
Well, it's a lot like gold. How do you cash out of gold? You would have to sell it to someone.
Okay.
Okay, this isn't like a bond where there's a principal that's going to be retired by the corporation or government that's issued it.
Okay.
So when you own Bitcoin, you're not going to receive a return until you sell.
Okay.
So what is the difference then between Bitcoin ETF and a Bitcoin that is in my digital wallet? Because they're different, right?
They are different. In fact, that's why the state of Wisconsin felt comfortable in investing in Bitcoin. They would not want to have owned a digital wallet or even owned Bitcoin through an exchange, given what we just went through with FTX recently.
Yeah. I feel like that's what's in everyone's brain, right? Is they clump it all together. And FTX is, well, I don't know where SBF is, to add another acronym to it. But that seemed like a total meltdown versus Bitcoin is strong.
Bitcoin is strong. The ETF stands for Exchange Traded Fund. And you can think of it as a pooled investment, very much like a mutual fund. It's regulated and approved by the SEC. It's traded on regular exchanges, so it has liquidity. And we're much more comfortable as investors owning something that the SEC has.
Sure.
They're not vouching for the price or credibility of it. They're just saying that the entities behind this particular asset really do own the Bitcoin, and they're not going to disappear, here's a pun, into the ether.
What makes the Bitcoin investment better for the Wisconsin pension fund, which is fully funded, as opposed to some of our neighboring states' pension funds that are not?
Well, yeah, since Illinois stole our manager, we might as well recognize that's one of the most underfunded pension funds in the country.
Oh, wow.
They couldn't dream of owning an illiquid asset like Bitcoin. The state of Wisconsin is fully funded. Okay. This is truly one of the best managed pension funds in the country, if not one of the best institutional investors in the world.
Has it always? How long has it been like that?
Well, for many years.
Really?
I mean,
okay.
Yeah. They've been fiscally prudent, but at the same time, because they've been able to remain fully funded, they can play for the long run. Mm-hmm. That makes a difference. I mean, you just played a clip making fun of Gronk.
Yes.
Well, if he owned Bitcoin, he's looking pretty good right now at $70,000 per Bitcoin.
Okay. But that's what about the volatility? Is it because, as you said, they're playing the long game, that the volatility isn't really going to affect the fund one way or another?
Yeah, you're taking my job away from me at Marquette.
Well, look at see how quickly I catch on?
Yes. Think of the ups and downs like a roller coaster,
yeah.
Okay? The state of Wisconsin, because they're fully funded and don't have to worry about liquidity issues like New Jersey, Illinois, Kentucky do with their pension funds, they can ride through the troughs, and they can play for the long run. So the extreme volatility to a short-term investor with an illiquid position, that's dangerous. Yeah. To a long-term investor, if you're playing the long game, the volatility doesn't hurt.
And compared to the entire fund, this is a small fraction, right?
Right now, it's 0.1%.
Oh, wow.
Now,
okay.
But $170 million isn't pocket change either. Now, I don't know this personally. I do know people at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board, some of my former students, but I haven't talked to anyone. I think this is just a toe in the water, an introductory position.
Okay.
Because 0.1% does not affect return, and it doesn't affect volatility of the overall portfolio. I think it's an entry point. I wouldn't be surprised over the course of the next year or so that increases to, say, 1 or 2%.
Now, for Bitcoin, does this add, for lack of a better term, more legitimacy to them when you've got an institution like Wisconsin's pension fund saying, yeah, we've put our trust in you, even if it is at this point for that small amount?
Certainly. And there are market statistics to back that up. When the form F-13 was issued by the SEC, which every institutional investor files at the end of the quarter to reveal their public holdings, when that information came out that Wisconsin had invested $170 million, Bitcoin has gone up since that point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. That's a market-changing event. Okay. And just I'll carry on with that. The SEC, in a surprise move about 2 weeks ago, approved another cryptocurrency to be an ETF, Ethereum.
Right.
At 2 o'clock, it was announced by the SEC. The price of Ethereum went up 10% on that market news.
Interesting.
Now, is that why like Bitcoin and now Ethereum do well? But there's been a number of cryptocurrencies that have come and gone.
It's a graveyard of cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, what makes Bitcoin and Ethereum, what makes them so special, and Dogecoin and all these others have...
You've got it. These are legitimate technologies. Now, whether they're going to be a relic of the past like an Edsel or whether they're going to be a Corvette is yet to be seen. People said the same things about railroads and aerospace and computers and the internet. And it was less than 10 years ago people were making jokes about artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the strongest stocks in the world right now. Right. This is a future technology. It's sound, and it is likely over the course of the next 10, 20, 30 years to become the backbone of the financial system, and for that matter, maybe even the business world, because inventory, supply chain, government records, medical records can all be kept securely on a blockchain. And if I don't stop talking about blockchain, we'll all be listening to NPR in a few minutes.
We're talking to Marquette University Emeritus Associate Professor of Finance, David Krause. You're going to stick around when we come back. If you have any questions about Bitcoin, I'm not promising you can answer them, but 855-616-1620. Shoot us a text. Maybe we'll see if the professor can answer it when we come back. This is Spanning the State. Money.
It's Spanning the State, and we are deep in crypto. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. We are talking to Marquette University Emeritus Associate Professor of Finance, David Krause, about Wisconsin's pension fund decision to invest in Bitcoin. So we're having a bigger conversation about, was that a good move? Should you make that move? And I guess, were you surprised when it happened?
Yes, I was a bit taken back. I wasn't surprised like, oh, this is a horrible decision that they've made. It was in January of this year that the Securities and Exchange Commission approved that investment vehicle.
Right.
And I think shortly thereafter, Wisconsin bought it. So their speed at entering an investment position in Bitcoin is what surprised
me. Okay.
Is this all being driven by supply and demand? What's behind
this? Like, where does the value of it come from?
That's great. That's what I teach. I teach fundamental valuation. And I've tried. I cannot fundamentally come up with an intrinsic value of Bitcoin. And that's because it doesn't pay a dividend.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have an expiration date like a bond does.
Yep.
It's based on supply and demand. Now, there's a limited supply, just like there's a limited supply of gold. There's only 21 million Bitcoin that are ever going to be mined. So that's one thing where we know at least the supply is limited. The rest is going to be demand driven. And not just by speculators. Does this become a viable global currency that we begin to use?
Can I follow up on something? We talked about the difference in the Bitcoin ETF and regular Bitcoin. If I'm going to invest in Bitcoin, am I investing in a different type of Bitcoin, like one that we shouldn't trust as much because it's not the Bitcoin ETF?
No, this is now the democratization of financial markets. Okay, I know that there are investors, including one of my neighbors, who doesn't trust the financial system as much, and he buys cryptocurrency and puts it in his own wallet and maintains the passwords himself.
Okay,
he would not trust the ETF.
Okay,
I, on the other hand, trust that SEC-approved investment instrument. And I would be worried of hacks or exchanges like FTX or Mt. Gox going belly up. And I don't want to own this in my own wallet.
Okay. So if you have it in the ETF, it's like having your money in the bank and the SEC is backing it or telling you that it's banked. It's not insured, obviously.
Correct. Not insured or backed, but that legitimately has been an offering statement has been provided
Well, one of the whole conversation around this that I find so fascinating is just the sociological agreement on what anything is worth. Like, my husband's very into sports cards. And so it's fascinating to me that a piece of cardboard, depending on how rare it is, how many copies they made, if it's signed, what condition it's in, can be thousands and thousands, if not over $1 million, right? And so, and then we also, as I told you, we're gonna, like, the GameStop phenomenon that's happening, like, that's resurging right now, as far as, like, anyone's value in a stock, in a cryptocurrency. And so how does that fit in with Bitcoin as far as, like, it's valuable because we believe it's valuable, or even as, like, the viability of a currency is because we've all bought in that, like, yes, I will take Bitcoin to sell you my laptop. I don't know.
I don't know which of the 10 questions to respond to there. But
the one that interests you most.
Sports cards. I love sports cards.
All right.
But you are correct. The value of something like sports cards or art or any other non-fungible asset is based upon supply and demand and what value someone sees in it. Okay. Now, there is utility to these crypto. I mean, they do provide a valuable economic function. First of all, as a digital currency. And see, in this country, we don't worry too much about the government absconding with our cash or inflating it away at a 200% inflation rate like Argentina or Venezuela. There are hundreds of millions of people around the world that have taken their wealth in countries that they live in where they worry about losing their assets, and they're holding it in Bitcoin. So it does have utility in the sense that it is a global digital currency. Now, okay, just to talk about Ethereum for a moment, that is a really legitimate technology. You can build contracts on top of there. We're going to see supply chains, and we're going to see information systems around the world operating off of that backbone through time.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. So if you mentioned, we've talked about this before, but just to put a finer point on it, if you're going to invest in crypto, Bitcoin, since we're talking about Bitcoin, this is a long-term investment. This is not, it's probably not the best thing if you're just looking to get in and out, correct?
Correct. I mean, it's age-dependent. Fortunately, you don't have a camera on me right now, but I'm not a candidate to hold Bitcoin long-term.
Okay? I know the feeling.
Again, it is a long-term investment. Someone younger can put some of this aside, not touch it, not watch it, just like we've been told for years what we should be doing
with the stock market.
With the stock market.
Yeah.
And that has proven true, a 10% return annualized over 100 years. Now, by the way, Bitcoin and Ethereum, since 2015, have gone up on an annualized basis 30%. But it's been a wild ride.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we have to let you go because that is the wild ride as far as where it started, where it's been, how it's gone up, how it's gone down. Because even in the last couple of years, it's gone from like 16,000, and now you said it's 77,000 per
70.
Coin. 70,000 per coin right now. Yeah. So that is wild. Well, sounds like not a total miss on the Wisconsin Pension Fund. It'll be interesting to see if they invest more in this. But we thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He is Marquette University Emeritus Associate Professor of Finance, David Krause. It's Spanning the State.
It's time to take a spin around Wisconsin and find stories you might have missed. Here's Spinning the State on Spanning the State with Kristen Bry and Brian Noonan.
Well, for 2 days we did not spin anywhere. We spun at home, and today we're back on the road spinning the state as we do every day after the 2 o'clock news here on Spanning the State. So, Kristen, where would you like to start? Spin
Let's
the wheel.
See what we got. Out.
Madison.
Madison, my hometown. Well, for 8 Wisconsin companies, business is good. Yes, 8 Wisconsin companies made the 2024 Fortune 500 list, with 3 of those making significant jumps.
Ooh.
American Family Insurance, based in my hometown of Madison, rose 58 spots to 243 on the list. The other big movers were Oshkosh-based Oshkosh Corp. and Milwaukee-based Rockwell Corp., who both rose 46 spots.
Nice.
And once again, Northwestern Mutual, just down the street from us, retained its spot as the state's highest ranked business on that list. Do you want to know the other ones?
Sure.
Fiserv.
Mm-hmm.
Manpower Group.
Got it.
Kohl's.
Okay.
Get yourself some cold cash.
Who loves
and WEC Energy Group.
Very good. So congratulations to all of them for another banner year.
There we go.
All right. Spin us again. Let's see what we got.
Racine.
Oh, Racine, something is taking over your downtown. In the midst of this cicada invasion, Racine is seeing a butterfly invasion, but maybe not what you think. A garden of beautifully colorful metallic butterflies has taken over the streets of downtown Racine. These metallic monarchs mark the 23rd Downtown Racine Corporation's public art project. The butterflies are meant to spark joy, which butterflies always do in the community, and connect people to local artists. These artists can range from students to mechanics to full-time to part-time artists. You can walk around and see. Each sculpture is sponsored by a local business. There is a treasure hunt aspect to the whole thing. So go downtown in Racine and see these beautiful big metallic butterflies.
I wish there was actually, I think people would be happier with a actual butterfly invasion versus the cicadas.
Butterflies are much quieter.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know,
maybe not as good in beer, though.
I was talking about that cicada-infused beer the other day. I didn't go and try one. But, yeah, I was pelted. I was driving through a forest preserve region on the way home the other night, and the sky was thick with cicadas, like bouncing off the car, literally, boop, boop, boop. Like I was being pelted.
It just seems like an Egyptian plague to me. Like every time I see it, I was like, is Moses going to cross, like spread the Lake Michigan soon? What's happening?
And I find dead ones in they're just dead in the weirdest places. Like on the step going into my mom's house, I'm going to go, what was this cicada trying to do? I thought they would just come out, get wild, and then die.
God.
But did he get wild on my mom's porch? I don't want to think about that. Anyway, spin the wheel.
Menominee Falls.
Menominee Falls. Well, Brian, you know how the old adage goes. Give a man a fish and he eats for a day. Import salmon from Alaska to Wisconsin, he can eat for a lifetime.
That's exactly how it goes.
You might not think of Menominee Falls when you think of fresh salmon, but one couple is working to change that. Adra Kusinova and her husband, Jero Kusnir, they've created Alaska Fresh, which they describe as a boat-to-plate... Get it?
I like it.
Farm to
plate. I like it. I get it.
A company that brings wild-caught salmon from Alaska to people across the country. They decided to open their company here in order to bring salmon to what they described as a seafood desert, which I feel like a lot of fish fry connoisseurs would take issue with. But I digress. Yes.
Yeah.
And because of their shipping and storage costs, are cheaper in Wisconsin. Here they are. The salmon is flown from Alaska to Milwaukee for now, and for now can be found in frozen portions at local farmers markets.
Have you had Alaskan salmon?
What's been claimed to be Alaskan salmon from nice
so
restaurants.
Yeah. Restaurants, I don't trust them.
You trust these guys though?
I trust if I go to Alaska and I wrestle one out like a bear out of the stream with my mouth, then I know it's fresh Alaskan salmon. What?
Brian, of you wrestling a salmon out of a stream with your bare hands and teeth is quite something.
Can I give you the ultimate zen for the summer? Watch the Alaskan Katmai bear cameras. It is set up in the Katmai National Park.
Okay.
Have you seen the iconic picture of the salmon jumping up a fall?
Yeah, of course.
Well, this is that place.
Okay.
And they have live cameras on there. And at home, while I'm working, one monitor is just that camera, watching bears eat salmon all day. They have underwater cameras so you can see the salmon. And, oh, my God, it is the most peaceful, beautiful thing. And I find I don't cheer for the salmon. But, man, I cheer with those bears when they jump right into their mouths. It's beautiful.
I learned something about you today, Brian.
It's a lot to learn. I'm like an onion. Spin it again.
Marinette.
Oh, this is a statistic I was uncomfortable with, and I don't think you'll want to know it, but I think it's important to share. As many as 1 in 10 elderly Americans are abused, neglected, or financially exploited every year. Well, June 15th is National Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and the Aging and Disability Resource Center, the ADRC of Marinette, is going to be hosting two events to honor the day. One is tomorrow, and then the other one is Thursday, the 13th. They're going to have food trucks outside the center. They're going to have all sorts of literature available, and a large banner is going to be displayed outside of the center surrounded by pinwheels, which sounds a little festive, but that's not the point. The pinwheels represent the number of elder abuse or neglect referrals last year. The public on the 15th is encouraged to wear purple to show their support. So that's happening in Marinette tomorrow and Thursday.
Great.
Yeah. Not great that
people are being abused, but great that they're,
yes, that they're paying
trying
attention
to do something.
To that.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So if you missed any of not only Spinning the State, but any of the program, I know our interview with the WAPA mayor is already up.
Already up.
And you can get
David's
everything.
Interview probably going to be up soon. Sorry to cut you off.
No, where do they go?
They go to WTMJ.com or the WTMJ app.
The app?
The app.
Oh.
We have the website. We have the app. Just go to Spanning the State, and all of our interviews and our entire shows are always posted there. So you don't have to miss a minute ever.
No. There's no excuse. No excuse. There's also really, in my opinion, no excuse for influencers. That was a unbelievably horrible segue, but we're going to talk about one influencer, a young lady from New York who came to Wisconsin for the first time. And oh my goodness, what did she share with all her TikTok sheep in her little TikTok herd? We'll find out after this on Spanning the State.
Welcome back to Spanning the State. I am Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan.
WTMJ's Kristen Bry.
Yes, you are WTMJ's Kristen Bry. I'm so glad I don't have to stand in the long lines to meet you tomorrow.
I know.
I'm spoiled, I guess. I get to see you every day. But people get there early, folks, because, you want to meet WTMJ's Kristen Bry.
Also John McGovern. He's wonderful.
Yes, he is. It's going to be a very
I'm going to ask him to be on
event.
The show when I see him tomorrow.
Oh, please
I don't know
do.
What we'll have. We'll talk to him about besides him traveling the state to main streets, but he's the best.
You can say, maybe you could come in and recommend a place where my cantankerous co-host could go without influencers bothering him. All right. Let me ask you both.
Okay.
I'll ask Kristen and Rhea because you're both young women. Hallie Kate, influencer. Do you follow her? Do you know her? Have you heard of her? Are you one of her 1.2 million sheep?
I've never heard of this woman in my life.
I had also never heard of this woman in my life.
Right. I'm exponentially more proud of you than I was 3 minutes ago. So congratulations on that, for whatever that's worth. Kristen, you're much more of a social media guru than I am.
Yes.
How does one get 1.2 million followers, and why do they care if she came to Wisconsin?
I think dedication.
Okay.
Like, I think there's something to be said about growing a social media following of consistency.
Yeah.
I think it's certain star quality of having something to say or doing something. But I think it's also just if you are posting that often every day, it's not unlike, I think, when people get to know their radio show hosts, right?
Okay.
It's like, I spend my afternoon with the radio on and I know this person and I like this person. I trust this person. Because that's, and especially like these lifestyle type people who is like, oh, I just film my everything I do in my life and I turn it into content.
So fascinating. Watch
and like
me.
Everything I've ever made is more information
right, based and creative.
Versus me
I
ever
feel.
Thinking that me like ordering a Starbucks is good content.
I've ordered Starbucks before. It's not that exciting.
I mean, I drink basically black coffee with a splash of half an app, so it's really not a complicated drink.
And 90% of the time, it'd be me in my boxer sitting at my kitchen table drinking coffee
watching
that I made
bears
at home.
Eat salmon.
Watching bears eat salmon and just dreaming of a nicer place.
Anyways, all right, so there's a woman.
So she's here. Hallie Kate is her name. She's from New York. She owns a house in the Hamptons, so this TikTok thing must be much more lucrative than I could ever figure out. She has a boyfriend. His name is Reed. Of course it is. Because why wouldn't it be? Her boyfriend lives here in Wisconsin around La Crosse, which Oh, I can only imagine the culture shock for young Allie Kate when she came from the Hamptons to outside La Crosse. So that was the whole thing. She came and she was filming everything she did. Well, some of her sheep are from Wisconsin.
Sheep.
I'm sorry, I have to. Some of her devotees?
Sure.
Some of her acolytes?
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Some of her cult members? Whatever you wanted to label them as. They were insistent that she try some cheese curds.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And I guess she did try some cheese curds. And this is what she thought.
Overall consensus is like, how could it not taste good? It's fried cheese. But like, that tastes like a mozzarella stick that you could get anywhere.
I'm going to get so much hate for cheese curds.
I apologize to all the Wisconsinites, if that is offensive to you.
So she was not impressed with cheese curds, but also her boyfriend, who's from Wisconsin, dips his cheese curds in ketchup.
All right.
Which is just, it's like,
that's
we don't
an abomination.
Claim him. We don't claim him.
No. First of all, his name's Reed. Secondly, I only know one other Reed, and it's Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. But yeah, if you dip your cheese... Thank you, Rhea. If you dip your cheese curds in ketchup, you need an intervention. You need to come away from the Hamptons, come back to your roots, stay here, detox a little. Because he even had that bro New York kind of accent going. He's a guy who now has left Wisconsin, but when it's kitschy and good, he'll come back to his roots.
You're so judgy.
I am. It's too late to change.
All right, but the other thing that they did while they were, what she realized here is how affordable it is to get a hangover.
One thing about Wisconsin, they will get you drunk, and for like zero dollars, like, why are the drinks so cheap? Swear to God, I'm buying around last night, four drinks, four shots. I hand the bartender $100 bill, and I'm like, you can just keep the change. And she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, it's honestly probably not even that good of a tip. Like, sorry, I could give you more, like, probably only like $10. She's like, no, like your total for those drinks was $28. I was like, in New York, that is the price of one drink.
And I'm like, I can't believe it. And like, then she said it was more. And like, shut up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, that is one of the things, especially maybe not less so Madison, less so Milwaukee, but the affordability of drinks across Wisconsin. Yeah, I think Lewis Black has an entire bit on
really?
This when he performed at UW-Madison. Because I remember this was circa 2007, and my boyfriend at the time came home for a cousin's wedding, and we had a similar experience as far as, and we were living in New York for that summer. And we both had internships. And I remember him, he's like, this is like a third world country. Like, are you kidding me that this is how cheap the drinks are?
But yeah, if you were living in New York, the only place that probably was more expensive is Saudi Arabia to get a drink, you know, or Kuwait. Yeah, somewhere like that. But here, so yes, I love the drink prices here in Wisconsin. It's fantastic. I don't know. I admittedly, I am not the demographic for Haley Kate. If she was my daughter, I'd probably be happy for her because she bought her own house in the Hamptons. I would. Oh, I'd see. At that point, I'd keep my mouth shut. Just go, well, when I'm old and infirm, she's going to take care of me with all those inane videos she took. Because in private, I'd be saying to my wife, can you believe she's making all this money filming herself walking down the street?
Who finds her this interesting?
She lived with us for 18 years and she was a drip. Now what's going on?
All right. On that note, let me know. Do you dip your cheese curds in ketchup? Am I crazy for this? I thought my husband does it. He loves ketchup. All right. If I'm wrong here, 855-616-1620. Otherwise, we'll be back after this. This is Spanning the State.
All right, Kristen, your question about this Reed character from the TikTok videos dipping his cheese curds in ketchup. You're getting some responses here. No, Secret Stadium sauce? I don't know what Secret Stadium sauce is.
Is that the Brewers games?
Okay.
I think it's, I forgot who debunked what the secret, what it actually is. I think it's just like either mayonnaise and ketchup mixed together. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that's that Cane's chicken. Their sauce is ketchup, mayonnaise, and then like pepper.
Okay.
That's it. So I would dip cheese curds in that.
It's also Puerto Rican sauce, I learned.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But it has to be fresh mayonnaise.
Is that right?
Which,
like, how fresh?
I don't know.
Like, you got to whip it up yourself?
Probably. That's what the French do.
Have you made mayonnaise before?
No.
No, that's why I've
had fresh made mayonnaise.
Have you really?
It's much better.
Is it really?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I've never had fresh mayonnaise.
It's very good. I can see why when you go to Europe, if there's fresh mayonnaise to dip your fries in instead of ketchup.
Oh,
I get it. Hellman's, not so much, but okay. Fresh mayonnaise.
Wow, I'll have to try. I'm a mayonnaise fan. Marinara or ranch?
Ranch. See, that's what I always feel like is ranch. I don't dip them in anything. I just pop them in my mouth.
I used to dip them in mustard sometimes. Or nothing. That's the first
cheese curds and mustard.
The first time I ever had cheese curds was I forget where I was, and they had mustard, and I tried it, and I was like, "Oh, this is good."
Bria's not a fan.
I will come in there. I don't know what I'll do when I get in there, but I will come in there. But I'm usually nothing. I'm just popping them in. I don't have time to dip. I'm like a machine.
Tartar sauce.
Blech. Tartar sauce on anything is horrific.
Oh, so you're not, you know, tartar sauce with your fish fry.
Malt vinegar with my fish fry, Kristen, while I'm watching bears eat salmon. That's how it goes.
All right, when we come back, but next, ABC News and local headlines are next. Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And as we've been telling you, tomorrow, Kristen is going to be at a very special event and... Tell us about the event and tell us who our guest is.
Well, our guest is Kim Irwin, who's the Vice President of Marketing at Capri Communities. And that is the event tomorrow. Enjoy Your Life Active Aging Active Aging Symposium. But before we jumped into what the event is, I wanted to demystify, what is active aging?
Yes.
So active aging for Capri, it is a mindset. We really encourage our residents and all older adults to really embrace life fully. Not let aging be something that kind of pins them down and confines them to something that they are used to doing all the time. It's more like trying new things, getting out there, exploring, living life to the fullest, really whatever that means to you, because it means something different to everyone. Someone it could be reading a good book. Someone could be going on a hike, a new trail in a different park, right? So just being active in your mind, your body, and your spirit.
What if you have a resident who moves into Capri and they're not quite sure, like, I guess I was active. I did things my whole life. I raised my family. I did this. But now I don't know what to do.
Well, at Capri, it's all about choice. We never want to force somebody to do something they're not comfortable with, but we provide them many, many options. So we have people and resident ambassadors who encourage new neighbors and new friends. Hey, come with me and try this card group, or we're going on this field trip to 10 Chimneys, or we're going to go horseback riding. We did that last week with residents. We have 19 senior living communities in the greater metro area, and then we have 39 managed properties total. So we frequently merge all the residents from our different communities.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they can get to know each other. I mean, socialization is the best thing for older adults.
Well, and that was, I feel like there's, I could be grasping for straws, but I feel like I've read before that an antidote to the aging process is basically trying new things, doing, like you said, either mentally or physically active things, and not just getting into the same routine of doing the same errands every day, the same TV shows every day, but actually challenging your brain to learn new things, even at an older age, could almost reverse some signs of aging.
It's proven. You absolutely are correct. And that is what we want to encourage our residents to do. Keep active, keep trying, keep engaging, and socialization. It really is a big part of it. I mean, we all know people, I mean, my parents are two of them, that they're going to stay in their home forever. They are not leaving their home. I respect that. But when one spouse dies and you have a solo ager, it can be very lonely, and it can have a really dramatic effect on people. So one of the many advantages of senior living is really that socialization, like-minded people who you have as an immediate social outlet without having to really go look for it.
Would that encapsulate the mission of Capri? And if not, what is the mission of Capri?
So, Brent, our tagline is enjoy life. It's two words.
I like that.
Yep, so do we. It's two words, very simple words, but they mean a ton to us because it's really what we structure all of our programming around doing. We intend to deliver that to our residents and our staff. We want people to really enjoy this chapter of their life. And that's where all the options. And that's how this event, the Enjoy Life Active Aging Symposium, came to be.
So let's talk more about the event itself.
Sure.
So that's tomorrow. And
yes.
We were talking at the break. There's going to be 1,000 people there?
We have over 1,000 people registered.
Wow.
And we welcome anybody else who wants to come. This is a free event. And it's really designed to let people explore options that are out there. Our world, as we all know, can frequently have too much negative noise. this event is all about the positives. We realize there are challenges associated with aging, but here tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the many positives of aging, how people can get involved, how people can experiment, try new things, new clubs, new opportunities. We have five incredible speakers just to expand your mindset. If you want to learn about a plant-based diet, if you want to learn about senior travel opportunities, Jennifer Bartolotta will be with us talking about emotional fluency and finding your happiness. We have an expert from California coming in to talk about solo aging. She's been on PBS and Wall Street Journal and New York Times, and she really is an expert on how do you navigate life if you're childless and you don't have a spouse. And can you still have this rich, fulfilling life? And the answer is yes.
If somebody is on the fence, they're not sure, and they come to Capri, what should somebody who is thinking about moving into an active aging community look for? What would be the things that should be most important on their list?
Well, everyone's going to have a different list.
Sure.
For me, I would really observe how people interact with the residents, how the staff at any senior living company interacts. I would look at their programming. What type of choice do they offer their residents? And I just really think that you will get a feel. I would do your research. I would visit a lot of different places, and you'll have that feeling of what's right for you. I know with Capri, all of our communities have a different personality.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a cookie cutter
themes?
At all. No, not a different themes, but we do have, we have some that are smaller and older. We have some that are brand new. I mean, so you're going to have a different comfort level depending on where you go. But I do believe Capri has something for everyone. But if it was my parents looking, I would say, do your research, look around, really observe how that staff interacts with their residents.
And so for someone who's my age, who my parents are not looking,
right,
we're removed, what are kind of the bigger buckets? Because I feel like sometimes everything just gets pushed into one category of senior living.
Right.
But they're not all created the same, right? There is memory care. There is
assisted living, independent living,
active aging. Yeah.
You guys are helping me do my job. I mean, I keep saying I need to do a video on this to explain the different components or options in senior living. Because really, a large majority of our residents are independent living, whether that's in an independent home. So we have ranch homes. We call them casetas or ranch homes. And then we have the independent living in the main building campuses. But there is assisted living, and there are different levels of assisted living depending on the type of care you need. And then there is memory care, and those are people who have a neurological diagnosis of a dementia, right? So that memory care, most of our campuses have memory care. They all, almost all have assisted living. A lot of people get senior living confused with a nursing home. We are not a nursing home. So nursing home is a really skilled care, a higher level of care.
And something else that seems to have changed, you bring up nursing home and that mm-hmm. stigma is the age of people moving into these active aging communities has dropped. 55 and older now.
55 seems
really young.
Let me expand on that a little bit. So Capri, we are just building our first 55 plus active aging neighborhood.
Okay.
And it is very separate from our senior living. It has its own clubhouse, has pickleball court. It has walking paths. It's adjacent to our senior living campus, but it's very, very separate entrance, the whole thing. So it's if and when the time comes that you need more care, you can move on over.
You move over.
Okay.
But I do think, each person has to determine when it's right.
Right.
I mean, at Capri, our average age is not 50. It's much closer to 80.
Yes, so, I was like, boy, 55, that'd be nice to kind of retire into an active aging community and just, live like in a resort for the rest of my life.
So Sorriso, this new campus in Menominee Falls, it absolutely would be an amazing place. Think about it. Get your friends, go,
that'd
and you gather,
great.
And you sit around and have the clubhouse, play your cards, a book club, whatever it might be. It would be a great way to downsize in a maintenance-free way.
There you go. Well, tomorrow's event is free. You can still register early at enjoylifesymposium.com and capricommunities.com.
No, capricommunities.com,
great.
But enjoylifesymposium.com for tomorrow. Come on by. It's completely free. We would love to have you. You do not have to have pre-registered.
All right. Perfect. Kim Irwin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks for having me.
I'll see you tomorrow.
That's great.
News time 2:44. Welcome back to Spanning the State. I am Kristen Bry.
I'm Brian Noonan. We'll have fun tomorrow at the Active Aging Symposium. That will be very informative.
Yeah, I'm doing some callbacks, so you'll hear me during interrupt Steve and Jeff's show.
Oh, very nice. All right. Well, we'll be listening. And again, people can meet WTMJ's Kristen Bry tomorrow. So,
no big deal.
ActiveAgingSymposium.org is the website for that. This was very interesting because we are at that point now with my mom, and I wanted people in there, it could be anywhere from 40 up. When your parents get to a certain age, I found it interesting that Kim said her parents were going to stay in their house until the day they died.
Yeah,
and that was my mom. She was going to stay. She's in the same house that she and my dad moved into after they got married. It was the house we grew up in. She
wow.
went right from her grandmother's from my grandmother's house to the house with my dad, and that's it. That's where she stayed.
Wow.
For over 60 years. So she's 87, and things have been not going smoothly because she's 87. And yeah. when you're 87, things don't always go smoothly. So it finally got to the point where I have four brothers, all of whom are out of state in a way. So I'm the only one who gets to talk to her, and I confer with my brothers, but then they send me in as the tip of the spear to take all the heat, which is fun. But we had talked to my mom about maybe thinking about moving somewhere else because she's fallen a few times and, you know, things have not gone well after the falls. Thankfully, nothing too serious, so that's all good. But it's hard. It's hard when she's finally made the decision to, okay, I'll start looking at places. But when you're a child dealing with a parent, even though you're an adult child who probably should be starting to look at his own places for retirement, it's tough. So I'm wondering from you, 855-616-1620, if you went through this with your parents, what was the first step? Once you convinced them or they came to the realization on their own, which I think is a much better way, you know, you try to frame the question so it's like, hey, wouldn't you feel safer? I think with us after the last fall, my brothers and I cut out all the, you know, sweet talk.
There was no conversation. There was
no
decision.
It's like, Ma, you got to go. And the big thing with us was, hey, at this point, you get to choose where you want to live. If something, God forbid, happens to you, and I know people have had to go through this, suddenly you fall, you're in the hospital, we have to find you a place to live because you can't go back home. You don't get any say in it. You know, this way you get to pick and you get to go where you want to go and it should all be hunky dory. So that's where we're at. She's agreed to move. But now it's funny. She's telling us how to sell her house. And we're all my brothers like, we've all sold numerous houses. You've
lived never sold.
Here. You went from grandma's house to this house and,
you're now a real estate expert?
Right. She's an expert on pretty much everything. So, yeah, she's telling, well, you know, the backyard is extra big. I know, Ma. Well, don't worry. We're not going to give the house away. It's like, but so now it's, you know, now she's got to find other things to worry about because now she's like, well, aren't I getting credit because I said I'd move? And my youngest brother was like, no, you get the credit when you actually move. Just talking about it. You don't get any credit because it's going to be, well, I'm gonna, and then 10 years later, that's it. Let her stay in the house and stay with her. I did, and she lived to 102. That might work for my mom. I'd be dead in 6 weeks. So that plan is kaput. All right, let's do this. Then we'll start wrapping things up. It's Spanning the State. I like wrapping up with some cheap sunglasses.
Is that the name of the song? You're pretty good at this. You're pretty good at recognizing the
well,
music.
Well, this music is all going to be when I'm actively aging. This is the music I listen
Are
to.
Are you like, actively when, aging now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm aging.
I thought you said you didn't like to be active.
I said I like to choose when I'm active. There's a difference. I choose activities all the time. I don't like to be told to be active.
Okay.
I don't want somebody
right.
coming in and poking me. Get up! It's time to go for a walk.
I didn't get the idea from Kim that that's what they do at Capri
no.
communities.
No, Capri
either.
Seems like, hey man, you want to take today off and relax? Good for you. Enjoy yourself. Read a book. Have some fun.
Live
that's
your
nice.
Life, man.
Live your life. Yeah.
Make sure rent's due on time.
That's paid on time. Isn't that for all of us? Live your life. Just make sure your mortgage or your rent is paid on time.
Death and taxes, baby. Exactly. All right. Well, this was a fun show. I'm excited to be at the event tomorrow. So enjoy. Join us out there. I'll tune in to Steve's show, to Jeff's show, to check in and say
and
how the event is going.
And your name tag will say WTMJ's Kristen Bry.
Yeah, it'll be spelled right, hopefully.
That's nice.
Well, I'll let you know if it's not spelled right. Yes, that's for sure.
We'll recap it when you get back here. And thanks to the people who texted in with some suggestions. We're going to follow up on this because I know there are a lot of people whose parents are in that position where it's like you're trying to figure out what's best for them or with them in all those cases. So
yeah, Medicaid planning.
Yes. Well, thankfully she has all that stuff, but I'd like to, we need to educate some folks on
this. Maybe educate myself.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Wisconsin's Afternoon News is next.